Right, okay, I think we're good to go. Thanks, everyone. Thanks for that. So, you know, often I mention to you all, I say, it's amazing how prayers are prayed, songs are sung, messages are given, and it's amazing to me how it all ties together. And it's always just proof that God is working here and beyond. And something like that happened this week. And I just want to share with you some of the things. I actually forgot some of the other things, but what I remembered was this. On the 18th of August in McKinney, Yanku preached a sermon called Giving Ourselves. Now, I don't know what Yanku's preaching, and we don't talk about what we're preaching. It was all about what God is calling us today as His people, and what are we as a congregation hearing the Lord calling us to? But it was really about just giving yourselves to the church, to Jesus Christ and His body. On the 7th of September, that's about 2 or 3 weeks later, I preached in Chisamba here, give yourself to the mission. Again, I didn't know this. And it was almost exactly the same message. If you will remember, about giving yourself in full submission to the Father. What Jesus did that. And He calls us to do the same thing. That He's called us to a mission that and that He will give us everything we need in order to accomplish what He's called us for. Then in 7th of September in McKinney, they talked about priorities and what was Jesus' priority. And then another sermon that I gave here, it was, whose plan is it anyway? Sorry. Something's just happened, yeah? Okay. All right. We're good. Sorry about that. Whose plan is it anyway? And it was about us committing and submitting ourselves to God's agenda and not trying to make up our own agenda for what we think God wants us to do. And also, I preached on how God will always give those who He has called whatever we need in order to accomplish His task and which He's called us to. So that was all in a matter of a couple of weeks. And then we had Andre here, and he spoke on why on earth am I here? And again, it was the same topic. It was the fact that Jesus was calling us, and He gave us examples in the Bible and how testing, there's always a time of testing and preparation before He calls us into something. He taught us how to be faithful with the small things so that God could entrust us with the big things. And then 2 days ago, my mom often sends me a little snippet, maybe an Angus Buchan snippet. And the thought of the day on the 11th of September, 2 days ago, 3 days ago now, Angus shared on God equips the men and women He calls. And He told us that we need to speak up and that the Holy Spirit, and that we are only a conduit for the Holy Spirit to work in us and through us. And to say that every single one of us has a call on our lives and that He will equip us. So again, as you can see, this for me was just such incredible confirmation that God is doing something, not just here, way beyond. And often, like this week, I battled a little bit about what are we going to continue with? What do I feel the Lord laying on my heart to continue preaching on? And at the back of my mind, I kind of knew. But I'll explain to you why I struggled a little bit. Let me just get my water here. Yeah. So, at the beginning of the year, Marnie shared with us, the whole group of elders, what he felt the Lord had impressed on his heart. And I want to read from Numbers 9, 15 to 23. I'll just read through it quickly, just to give you an idea. But it's basically about the Israelites in the desert and how God leads them. So, on the day the tabernacle, the tent of covenant law, was set up, the cloud covered it. From evening till morning, the cloud above the tabernacle looked like fire. That is how it continued to be. The cloud covered it, and at night it looked like fire. Whenever the cloud lifted from above the tent, the Israelites set out. Whenever the cloud settled, the Israelites encamped. At the Lord's command, the Israelites set out, and at his command, they encamped. As long as the cloud stayed over the tabernacle, they remained in camp. When the cloud remained over the tabernacle a long time, the Israelites obeyed the Lord's order and did not set out. Sometimes the cloud was over the tabernacle only a few days. At the Lord's command, they would encamp, and then at his command, they would set out. Sometimes the cloud stayed only from evening till morning. And when it lifted in the morning, they set out. Whether by day or by night, whenever the cloud lifted, they set out. Whether the cloud stayed over the tabernacle for 2 days, or for a month, or a year, the Israelites would remain in camp and not set out. But when it was lifted, they would set out. At the Lord's command, they encamped, and at the Lord's command, they set out. They obeyed the Lord's order in accordance with the command through Moses. And the big message was that sometimes we need to stay on something. If the Lord is asking us to stay, then we must stay. If the Lord is asking us to move, then we must move. And we must be obedient to that command from the Lord. Even at our discomfort. I mean, the Israelites were how many? More than 500,000, I think it was. More than 500,000 Israelites. Imagine from morning till evening, setting down camp, and then setting up camp, and then breaking down camp and moving. I mean, that must have been a major feat. A major feat. And it must have been terribly uncomfortable for them. But they obeyed the Lord. If the Lord said or moved, they moved. And I felt, so I'm not unaware that we have been on certain topics for a long period of time. I know that we've been talking and preaching into church and church family for a long time. I'm completely aware of that. And I know that some people may think, okay, I think it's time to move on. Let's move. But I really felt in this time, especially this week, that we needed to stay. And for how long, I don't know. But I really do believe, and it's not just me on my own. This is not a decision I make on my own. It's a decision that Mark and I make together with Marnie and the other elders. So I just would like to ask you to have patience with us and to consider that maybe it is really the Lord. If you believe that the Lord is building his church here in Chisamba, then this is potentially exactly what he wants us to do. If you believe that he's building his church, because I believe he's building his church. So I want to introduce a topic today that some people may struggle with. The topic is church membership. Okay. For a lot of you, it may not be an issue at all. Okay? It's never been an issue for me, because in all the churches I've ever been to, there's always been a membership of some sort. So it's not a foreign concept to me. And it's not something I struggle with, but I do appreciate that there are some people who do struggle with it. And you know, we live in a world, especially the Western society, where freedom is everything, right? And we don't want anyone encroaching on our freedom. So it's as soon as you hear church membership, you think, ooh, control. And I just want to say that it's absolutely not. And I want to spend the next few weeks and the next few months, however long it takes, between Mark, myself, and whoever else will preach on it, to try and show you and what the Bible says about it. Okay. And to show you that it is actually biblical. I also want to encourage you, after these services, and especially during our community groups, because that is the time where we can really dig deep into these types of questions, to talk about this. Let's talk about it. Let's not just use it as an excuse to maybe move on. It's not my thing, so let's hear what the Bible has to say about this. Okay. So again, I'm going to ask you to please stick with me. So, I want to say that joining a church is probably one of the most important decisions you will ever make in your life. Those who were saved in the first church in Acts chapter 2, verses 42 to 47. In verse 47, sorry, I don't think it's on the screen, but they spoke about those who were saved were joined to the believers. They were joined to the believers. And so after being positioned with Christ, you then begin to participate and commit to a local church. And in the New Testament, I don't think you will find any Christian who was not part of a local body. And so I've entitled today's sermon, Be Counted in This Family. And obviously, what I'm not saying that this is the only body of Christ at all. This world is filled with churches and healthy communities of believers. So when I say be part of this family and be joined to this family, obviously we would love it if you were, but there are other churches around. But the important thing is that you get plugged in and you join. You become a living stone in that body that makes up that body. But whatever you do, because there are many, many unhealthy churches in this world, I just really ask you to please be careful and wise in how you choose who you join with. In Revelation, when Jesus talks to the seven churches, out of the seven churches, there were only two to be found healthy. And the other churches, they didn't know they were unhealthy. They thought they were good. But Jesus always came and said, I have this against you. So it's a wake-up call to know how easy it is for us to go astray, even as a church. And that is why we submit ourselves to an apostolic team. And we welcome people to come in and to check us, to check our theology, to check our fruit. So we are accountable, and thank the Lord for accountability. There is no actual scripture in the Bible that says, thou shalt become a member of a church. Okay? There isn't that. But if you read through the New Testament, you can see that it is totally implied. And Paul goes to great lengths using the metaphor of a human body and the body of Christ. He goes into great detail, both in Romans 12 and 1 Corinthians 12. Romans 12, 4 to 5, it says, "For just as each of us have one body with many members, and those members do not all have the same function, so in Christ, we, though many, form one body, and each member belongs to all the others." Now, some people say, but maybe that refers to the global church, which there is that. But you can't be joined with, in this type of description, joined to each other with someone on the other side of the world. You know, this is talking about a body working together. So, and then in 1 Corinthians 12, 14 and 15, it says, "Even so, the body is not made up of one part, but of many. Now, if the foot should say, 'Because I am not a hand, I do not belong to the body,' it would not for that reason stop being part of the body." And again, it's that same metaphor coming through. And it's talking about what we have here, this local body. To mention a few other scriptures, Galatians 6, verse 10, "Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all people, especially to those who belong to the family of believers." Okay, so he's talking about a family of believers. He's talking to a church there, and he's talking to, there was one church there. So he's talking to that family, especially that family of believers. And how can you do good to someone in a real tangible sense when they're on the other side of the world? So he's clearly speaking about a local church and the local church context. 1 Timothy 5 verse 9, it says, "No widow may be put on the list of widows unless she is over 60 and has been faithful to her husband." The only reason why I mention this is because here we see the mentioning of a list. Paul was telling them to create lists. So a list is not a scary thing. It's not a bad thing. Okay? There's even in Revelation where Jesus talks about a list in the Lamb's Book of Life. Revelations 21, 27. "Nothing impure will ever enter it." It's talking about heaven. "Nor will anyone who does what is shameful or deceitful, but only those whose names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life." Jesus has a book with a list of names on it. And then finally, 1 Corinthians 5, 12 to 13. Paul says, "What business is it of mine to judge those outside the church? Are you not to judge those inside? God will judge those outside. Expel the wicked person from among you." How can you be put out of a church if you weren't in the church in the first place? I always like to try bring this back to something that we can completely identify with, and that is the earthly family. We're all part of a family. And we are all very familiar of what that is and what it looks like and what happens in family. And as a part of a family, until you leave the nest, you are always part of that family and you are always found with that family. You must always try and draw this comparison with the body of Christ. That's exactly why they talk about it. And I love the way God gives us these things so that we can understand it clearly and well. In ancient Israel, there was a clear distinction between God's people and the world. And the Jews were marked by circumcision and the Mosaic law. This is what set them apart from the rest of the world. But the intention of this was never, ever to create an exclusive membership. That was not the purpose. It was rather to be distinct from the world. And you've heard that saying, We are in the world, but not of the world. And Israel was distinct from the world in the way that they lived and in the way that they worshiped God. And so what we need to be is we need to be inviting and attractive and beautiful to those who live, to those who are broken and live in a broken world. That's what we are supposed to reflect to the world. So, again, we must be distinct and welcoming, not exclusive and closed. But please remember that. The next thing about this is, and again, this is not a popular thing to talk about, but we can, again, refer back to the family. We can read Hebrews 13, verse 17. The writer of Hebrews says, "Have confidence in your leaders and submit to their authority, because they keep watch over you as those who must give an account. Do this so that their job, their work, will be a joy, not a burden, for that would be of no benefit to you." And this this scripture makes me tremble. It really does. When we get to heaven one day, Mark and I and a whole bunch of other elders will stand before Almighty God and will give an account for every soul that was placed in our care. That's not just anyone, that's to God. And if that doesn't strike fear into your heart, then there's something wrong with you. And so, what does that look like? It looks like as we get to know each other, and if, for instance, we saw someone going down a wrong road, and Mark and I do nothing about it, we'll have to give an account to God. And it's quite a weight to carry, you know? It's often, there have been times where Coles and I have thought, "Hey, what have we done?" It's so much easier just to sit there and hear. But you feel the weight of what God has called us to. And I think I can say with confidence from Mark and I and the other elders from GCC that this is something we take with all seriousness. And so the point of saying this is because we need to know who's under our care. We need to know who of you will willingly, openly give yourself and submit. And yeah, and then this talks about membership again. This is why we want to know. We want to know who has been counted in this church family so that we know who we are accountable for. The other thing is that it doesn't begin and end with Mark and I. You know, there are people and leaders within this body that God is calling. And we are supposed to raise up young and new leaders so that they can take over and they can be the next ones for the next generation. And again, we need to know who's in so that we can do that properly and faithfully. You know, even Paul submitted himself to the church in Antioch. You can read quickly Acts 13, 1 to 3. Now in the church at Antioch, there were prophets and teachers, Barnabas, Simeon, called Niger, Lucius of Cyrene, Manion, who has been brought up with Herod, the Tetrarch, and Saul. While they were worshipping the Lord and fasting, the Holy Spirit said, "Set apart for me Barnabas and Saul for the work which I have called them." So after they had fasted and prayed, they placed their hands on them and sent them off. So even the great Paul came into submission to his to the church in Antioch, and he didn't set out until they blessed him and they prayed for him and they sent him out. Now to look at maybe the other side of this, where while some of us will have no problem with this, and it's not a difficult subject and topic, as I said in the beginning, I completely understand that there are people who do struggle with it. And unfortunately, often they have been, it's been a result or a product of people in the church who have been hurt. And I just want to say that don't be surprised when that happens. The church is made up of broken people. I am a broken person. I have a broken past, terribly broken. And that's with all of us. Every single one of us here have a broken past. And we will only reach perfection when the Lord Jesus comes again. And until that time, we have to struggle through this. So, for example, I'm not a great communicator. My goodness. It was funny, I was talking to Karina the other day and I realized that I didn't tell her that I didn't know who was doing Proclaim. And I said, "I'm so sorry, I'm a terrible communicator." And she says, "We know." So there you go, one of my flaws. I'm so sorry, thank goodness for my wife. Thank goodness. Another thing of mine is that I sometimes at all costs try to keep the peace. And sometimes I see a situation when I just like brush it aside and hope it will just pass. But I've learned that it doesn't do that. That does not happen. So that's one of many, many broken things of myself, which I know that each one of you could add your own to that list. So nothing's perfect in this world. Not you, not your family, not this church family, and we must not expect perfection because that doesn't exist, not yet. Yeah, so on that one, I just want to end by saying that, you know, we each need to commit as we do in our family. You know, when we're in our family at home, we don't have the luxury of running away, hey? When there's a big fight, when there's disagreement, you're stuck there and you work it out. And then you get through the other side better, better for it. So we need to do that here. So, I think I've covered everything that I would like to cover today. I just want to end off by saying that church membership, and again, we are not rushing into this. So it's something that we are going to be teaching into and talking about. It's not a one-way thing. We will talk about it until we reach a position where we are all comfortable with it. But church membership is not a leash to control us. It is a cord of love that binds us together. Someone said that, not me. But isn't it beautiful? It is not a leash to control, but a cord of love that binds us together. And honestly, something that's just come to my mind now, thinking about control, really, we can't control. We can never control you, honestly. Because at any time, people are free to move. And it happens all the time. When they don't like something, they leave. So there's no control. There really isn't. And I really want you to know that. Please, if you feel in your heart that there is that, I can tell you with all of my heart that it is 100% not the cause, not the purpose and the intent. And God has given us His church for our good, and for His glory. So find yourself counted in a family. If it isn't this one, I pray it is. If it isn't this one, then find one. And just make sure that you are committed and an active part of your local church. Okay, so that's just very brief. There's so much to discuss on this, and we will really attempt to tackle this as we go on in the next couple of weeks. Not necessarily every single week will be this, but I just want you to know that we will be talking about it. So I see. Thank you, Mark, for reminding me. Can we send the baskets around as we worship the Lord with our finances? And yeah, I can just pray for us, please. Heavenly Father, I thank you that your idea is never, ever a bad idea. You are a perfect God. And you never make mistakes, Lord. Never. And Father, it's clear to us that we as your bride, as your temple which you abide in, as your body, you've chosen to work through us to reach the nations, Lord. And I pray that you knit us together, that we would have willing hearts to say that we are committed. We are committed here because this is where God has placed me. Yeah, Father, and I just pray that in this process, in this teaching, in the discussions that we have, that we see your heart and that we see the truth in your word. Help us to see it for what it really is and not for what we so often mistakenly take it as. So, Lord, we just want to glorify you today. We thank you for the service. We thank you for Taonga and for coming up here to join us and for everyone who's been involved. We give you the glory today, Lord, and we ask you that you would be with us this coming week as we are light and salt in the world where you have placed us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.